Well, church, as you heard this morning, we are in a series called What Jesus Did, because one of the things that we know as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, that our faith isn't just an intellectual one. It's not an intellectual practice, that it takes the form of a holistic life. And so we at Pine Lake, as we find and follow Jesus together, that we believe as apprentices of Jesus, that our lives have three rhythms. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so really we're looking at that. What does it look like for us to engage and to practice the way of Jesus as we talk about this idea, as we see in Scripture, not only this idea, but this reality that we might, you might, I do struggle with when it comes to healing. And as we were talking about healing this morning, I don't know about you, but I am drawn, and I think our culture are drawn to stories. And especially stories that engage the cultural tension that we face, where things that we see, but maybe things we don't understand. And so that can take place in poetry, literature, songs, film. We engage in these places and these mediums and even like photos that tell a story that maybe sometimes we don't fully understand how to grasp. It causes us to look at the interior of our life and figure out, man, what is going on in our head and how do we believe that plays out in our life? And one of the things that I was watching this last season was a medical drama. And in this tension where you're talking about healing, is this tension in this ER where people are coming in and flooding in, and yet they have an interior room in the ER that is chaotic, and then a waiting room that is overflowing. There are people that are being attended to, and then there are people that are waiting, right? And then in the same room, they're finding this place where people are getting small, minor injuries to devastating, full-blown, multiple people working on one. And I remember in this drama, there's this one scene where you had a tension that I think was untenable, that I think we get to in our life. Is that we have two young people come in who have overdosed on fentanyl. One lives and one doesn't. Two kids that took the exact same thing. One lived and one didn't. And we sit in here in this tension and going, I don't understand when people of faith, we come as like, how can we believe in a God that yet struggle with this tension that there is healing that we see and we know and we've heard about. We maybe even witness, and yet there's things that we witness and we partake in, maybe you've experienced, where suffering and pain continue. And this is what we're talking about this morning, is that as people of faith, one of the things that we need to get used to is that we don't let the paradox of healing, this paradox of it does and it doesn't, paralyze. Often we too often can get paralyzed. And so we're going to dig into to more of this idea of what it looks like. How do we engage as people of faith, as disciples of Jesus, when it comes to healing and the paradox that we engage? So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 5. We're going to be starting in verse 1. We're going to be looking at a healing that happens in the pool. And so if you have your Bibles in front of you, whether that's digital or physical, I encourage you always to look at it, as we will hone in on a couple verses, and yet you can watch the context. It says this: sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And so they asked him, "Where did this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Would you join me in prayer this morning? And as we pray, I just want to take this moment to participate in corporate silent prayer as we prepare ourselves. We take a posture of listening and hearing from the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you? Would you give us a heart that is open to receive your love? And you would give us a mind that would understand and know you better. We ask this in your name. Amen. One of the paradoxes in the text that we are confronted with is the truth that Jesus can heal. Jesus can heal. And one of the things that I experienced as a pastor was a gentleman who came to me and said, "I really would like you to pray for me. I would love to come on a Friday morning with some of my friends and my wife, and I would love for you to anoint and do a healing prayer for me." And as a youth pastor at this church, who had a pastor that was gone and we were in between lead pastors, I said, "Are you sure you don't want to wait for a real pastor? I'm just a junior pastor and I don't know if the Holy Spirit will listen to me." But reluctantly, I said that because I'm a skeptic. I was a skeptic in that moment. Like, this person had come to ask me and they didn't ask my theology. They just said, "Hey, would you come do this?" And I was like, "Sure." So we made a plan. That Friday morning came. His wife and family came. He had been having migraines and headache for a long time. And so we began to pray. We began to lay hands on this gentleman. And people prayed. And then it was that uncomfortable time where I knew that the people had been done praying and it was my turn. And so I prayed. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying that there's a place upon his, behind his eye where this was the originating place. And so I just prayed for this spot. And you know, when you prayed, I was like, and we finished praying, I said, "I don't know if this is going to take. We'll see." Right? And like, that was the thing. I asked him, I was like, "Have you had migraines this morning?" He goes, "No." I was like, "Well, you can't know right then." So I was like, "Go home and we'll see you later." But I remember coming back like 6 months later. I'd seen him and I hadn't seen him. And I just hadn't gotten around to ask because I was afraid. What if it didn't take? And he said, I haven't had migraines for 6 months. And I'm sitting here going, "Oh, wow." At that moment, the Lord took my skepticism and said, "I can heal. I can heal." And that's what we see in the text, that Jesus looked at the man who had been lying there for 38 years and he said, "Get up." He didn't lay his hands on him. He spoke healing from breath into this human being. He said, "Get up and walk. Take your mat as a sign and a symbol that Jesus can heal. When you shouldn't be able to, don't just go away and hide. Take up your mat," which is a testimony that you have been healed, a testimony that you have been laying by this pool for a very long time. They would know it. This is the good news of the healing that Jesus can come in the gospel, is that your body can be healed. You can get up and walk. There is healing in Jesus' name. And I love in Matthew 8 is this ask of the leper who comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing?" And Jesus says, "I am and I can." And I love that response. It's not just that I can, which is a testimony to the powers that are within Jesus in the power through the Father. But he says, "I am willing." Speaks more to his character. and his compassion that he sees in the midst of him people who are hurting. And it's not just that I can go around like healings that you may have seen on online or on TV where people are just bashing people over the head, showing that they can heal. But Jesus sees him and says, I am, because I see you. You are not just a project to fix and a project to create a proclamation, but you are a person which I see and I honor first. And I understand that what you are going to do in the next steps and step is more important than just this moment. That your life is more important than a moment. That I see you. I have compassion on you. I am willing. I am. This is the beauty of the embodiment of healing, is that sickness doesn't have the first, the middle, or the last word. That Jesus, even in this moment, who has healed, can have the final say of lasting healing and can have final healing as the kingdom fully represents itself at the end of the age. He does, and he doesn't heal. This is the paradox of healing. He does heal, and then he doesn't. There have been many times in my own personal life where we have had a young girl sick in the hospital, and we have gathered all of our church together to worship, to pray, to ask for a miracle, to see something that was impossible by the medical community for the Lord to come and to settle on this young girl. And she died. I've watched my own father sit before men who I believe and women who I believe have faith that can move mountains, who have laid hands on him, and he still died. And so we deal with this paradox of he can, he does, and yet he doesn't. In the text, I struggle with this, and I don't know if you did. But in the text, before Jesus even sees, before he even engages, is with a man who has been invalid for 38 years. It says this, he goes, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralytic. I have a hard time because Jesus walks into the room, and if we know and we're engaging this Jesus, and the community around knew if you engaged with a Jesus, that healing would happen in his name. And there is a pool full of people, and Jesus chooses one. I don't know how that strikes you. I have a hard time with this. I have a hard time with Jesus, who walks into a room of pain and suffering and chooses one. Out of all, why this one? Why not one who had been suffering for a little bit or for much longer than this individual? One maybe who was further back for the pool and that had no chance of getting. These are the questions that I ask the text and then I engage with Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, I don't understand what you're doing. Why this one? Why not the disciples who said, who were sent out to also do healing? Jesus, why didn't you send out the other 12 to do healing in that room as well? He does and he doesn't. The truth is there's no formula to the healing that happens. There's times when Jesus spits in the mud and uses mud, and there's times he doesn't spit. There's times he uses words to heal, and then sometimes he just uses his hands. There are some times where people have faith. The Roman centurion who doesn't know and doesn't even believe in Judaism or of the awaited Messiah. And yet, because of his faith, there's healing. And at the same time, like this gentleman, his belief was in a pool of water that the Spirit might bubble up and create healing. And yet, with no faith, this one was healed. So we wrestle with his healing and his non-healing. We have to land in this place of that we are not result driven, that the disciples weren't result driven people. They had faith. They dealt with this paradox that landed in the sovereignty of God. Your ways are far beyond my ways. Your thoughts are far beyond my thoughts. The ways that I think don't even get to the edge of the beginning of your thoughts. Because as humans, we love certainty, we love tests, we love results, we love data. We want to know the efficacy of this medicine that we're about to take. We want to know that this test is conclusive. We want to know facts. We want to say 2 + 2 = 4. But as people of faith, when we engage in this tension, I think this is why so many mediums of telling stories and narrating stories have a hard time dealing with a tension, because you introduce a tension and you're left not knowing what to do. And as people of faith, we enter with the rest of humanity at that space. We walk up to the end and not knowing what to do, and then our first step lands on the sovereignty of God. That I don't know why that the gospel can go and be proclaimed even in the midst of pain and suffering. Wouldn't it be better, Lord, if the kingdom went by through the healing of bodies, the raising of the dead, so that people might see and come to believe? We land in the sovereignty in the same way Jesus did with the Father. May it be your will and not my will. May your will be done, not my will be done. Even Jesus opened his hands to the sovereignty of the Lord. Your ways are the way in which we follow. This is why we say we follow the way of Jesus. We practice the way of Jesus, because it's not our way, it's not our result, it's not our hope, it's his. And so, church, what do we do as people who come by, and as a pastor and as a church, as we're proclaiming this idea that disciples are not only supposed to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, but to usher in and do what Jesus did? Just because we do not understand doesn't mean we don't do what Jesus did. Just because you don't understand doesn't give you a pass to not do what he did. Not only that, but just because you don't understand doesn't mean you don't sit with Jesus to be with Jesus in this understanding of this non-understanding of healing. It doesn't mean you become more like, you get a pass from becoming more like him when it comes to certain topics or certain places in life. But could you imagine the doctors who are living in the midst of chaos could be so overwhelmed? How would we react in a drama or in real life when we see medical doctors or medical emergencies and people who know the paradox of healing just throw their hands up and give up? We would have a visceral reaction if we walked into ourselves and watched an ER and watched doctors who have been trained who to participate, to do good, to do no harm, just give up. So why, as followers of Jesus, is it okay for us, because we don't fully understand, to throw our hands in the air and say, I can't help you? What do we do? In James, it says this: if anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Right at the beginning, this if-then relationship. If anyone is sick, if there be any sick among you, bring them. Like the friends who brought their paralytic to Jesus, bring them. Bring them to the church. Surround them with the community of church. I'm not saying this church, but surround them with the church. Have brothers and sisters come together. And it says lay hands on them. Pray for them. that they might be healed. It's this if-then relationship. This is the criteria for us doing what Jesus did when it comes to the physical healing. If there are sick, then pray for them. This is just like the mystery of prayer. That we don't get all the answers today that we want in prayer, and yet we still pray. We pray with hearts wide open, transparent before the Father, before Jesus. And we say, Lord, this is my prayer. Will you come? Will you intervene? Will you interject? Will you change the trajectory? And even when he doesn't, whether it's in our timing or it's to the kingdom come, we still pray. As followers of Jesus who are practicing the way of Jesus, who are apprentices, who want to look and act and become like their rabbi. Just in the same mystery of prayer and the same mystery of healing. Just because it might not happen the first time you pray doesn't mean you stop praying. It doesn't mean you stop anointing. It doesn't mean you stop bringing the broken before the throne of Jesus. Crying out, lamenting, seeking healing. And as we engage, this is my encouragement to you. Encouraging us to the body of Jesus. Is that we would be open to doing what Jesus did. Living out of an obedience of yes, not if. That we don't pray if it's answered. We don't pray and anoint our brothers and sisters only if it happens. We pray, we anoint, we call upon the Lord because he can. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we know that you are here and we know that you're in the room. We know that when we gather together in your name, you're present. So speak to us. Holy Spirit, what is a word that addresses our unbelief, our unwillingness, our doubt? Holy Spirit, you don't ask us to stay at a distance if we have those things, but you come close. Speak close, whisper. What word do you have for us this morning? Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. May your will be done. Amen.